Hello, and welcome to Episode 6, the Phoenix Budget 102 of the Downtown Phoenix Podcast. I am Edward Jensen, your host, and welcome back. The Downtown Phoenix Podcast is a presentation of Edward Jensen Urban Productions, and this episode was recorded in the community studio space of Downtown Phoenix, Inc. in Downtown Phoenix. My thanks to R.J. Price and Anna Concy for helping assemble the equipment and providing this studio space for the podcast. Before we continue our two-episode examination of the City of Phoenix budget process and our conversation with Paul Newmans of the Phoenix spokespeople, there's a little bit of housekeeping to do. When isn't there housekeeping to do on our show? You might have noticed that on our Facebook page last week on April 1st, we announced that the Downtown Phoenix podcast was going to be reconceived and relaunched as the Downtown St. Paul podcast, as in St. Paul, Minnesota, later on this year. As the date should have implied, that bit of subterfuge was our April Fool's Day 2014 joke. We remain 100% committed at the Downtown Phoenix podcast to advancing smart and sensible conversation in and for Downtown Phoenix. Whether we expand our brand of conversation to other cities is a dialogue and conversation for later, but it will be just that, expansion to other cities. We are, first and foremost, the Downtown Phoenix podcast. Also, in our last bit of housekeeping, thank you for bearing with me and having to listen to me for 35 minutes on last week's episode of the podcast as I explained both the budgeting process and how the government of the City of Phoenix works. Now, in lieu of a perspective essay for this week's episode, there is something that I do wish to reiterate and something that I brought up on previous episodes of the Downtown Phoenix podcast. It is important to understand the context of how a system works so that any advocacy to improve it is much more effective. At the Downtown Phoenix podcast, we note that the curriculum of the elementary, the middle, and the high schools focuses on the government and history of the federal and state level of government, with minimal, if any, focus placed on municipal government and local history. On a personal note, I relay the story that to learn about how cities work, I had to take an entire college curriculum just to gain that knowledge. And now, to our conversation with Paul Newmans and the Phoenix spokespeople. At last year's City of Phoenix budget hearings, one group seemingly came out of nowhere and surprised the city for their persistent request for better bicycling infrastructure in this city. They were successful in their persistence, and increased funding for bicycling infrastructure was allocated in this current year's budget. Although the City of Phoenix faces a $38 million deficit for this next fiscal year 2014-2015, which is the budget period that runs from July 1st, 2014 to June 30th, 2015. And this is, as we noted in last week's episode, the Phoenix spokespeople are canvassing all of the city's budget hearings to advocate for enhanced bicycling infrastructure yet again. Paul Newmans, my guest on this episode of the Downtown Phoenix podcast, is a founding member of Phoenix Spokespeople and chooses to be car-free as part of a simpler, sustainable lifestyle. He can often be spotted around town riding a 1969 Schwinn Collegiate or a 1983 Schwinn Traveler, which he rebuilt as a single-speed bike. Paul works on product development programs, downtown community projects, and is interested in small housing, transit, and services for successful aging. He sits on the board of the Schemmer Center for the Arts, celebrating its 30th year of service to the City of Phoenix. Paul tells us, quote, "Bicycling is interwoven into his life, into my life, rather. I've made many dear friends through biking, and as a member of the Phoenix spokespeople, I seldom take long bike rides, but usually total about 15 to 25 miles per day. I've been inspired to see the streets of European cities, full of people in regular clothes, moving easily from point A to point B on a bike. They are often smiling. I love to ride in Phoenix where the weather permits me to bike year-round. And I am truly multimodal, riding bike, bus, and light rail on most days. My car-free lifestyle has been a great boon to my continued good health and given me a deeper connection to the city. End quote. This summer, Paul will visit the capital city of Denmark, Copenhagen, and we certainly cannot wait on the Downtown Phoenix podcast for his full report of bicycling. My conversation with Paul Lumens of the Phoenix Spokespeople and other things, as we have heard, was recorded on the 4th of April, 2014, by telephone. And Paul Lumens, welcome to the Downtown Phoenix podcast. You're part of the Phoenix Spokespeople, and they're a new group to the downtown and to the Phoenix scene. Briefly explain to me, Paul, the origins of the Phoenix Spokespeople and also what they seek to do in Phoenix.
Well, I think all the members of the Phoenix Spokespeople sort of came to biking in their own way. Some of them have been longtime bikers, and some of them, more like me, have really rediscovered biking in the last couple years, and it's really become an important part of their lives. When you look at our leaders, they're good examples. Anna Warble is the person who probably most started our organization. She started riding her bike more after her car was totaled, and she decided that she was going to go by bike, and it was really the start of a change in her life to really fall in love with biking and have a good experience sharing that with a lot of other bicyclists. Libby Koiner moved here from Portland, and lived in Vancouver as well, so she had experience in a lot of places rich with biking, and when she came to Phoenix, she just felt that this city had so much potential in terms of improving its bicycle culture. And in part, that's because she knows a lot about bicycling, but in part because she sees the fun and enjoyment that people have in a bicycling culture. And then Lisa Park is the person who really participates because she fell in love with biking just not that many years ago, and she's been actually a major fixture in our group in terms of the budget hearings and saying, let's get our story told. Let's get more support for bicycle infrastructure, because then more people will feel safe bicycling in Phoenix. And that's our mission, in essence. We want to promote bicycling as an alternative form of transportation here because it has so many benefits. It's a good investment for the city.
That's a perfect segue into my next question, which is, at last year's budget hearings for this current fiscal year, the Phoenix Spokespeople successfully secured funding for enhanced biking infrastructure. To what do you attribute your group's success for securing that additional funding, Paul?
Well, I think in part, it's all about showing up. You know, it's been about being there, telling our story to people, letting them know what's important to us. And then I think, too, it's the fact that bicycling is indeed important. I mean, one of the things we've been tracking lately is all the investments that the state of Texas is making in bicycle infrastructure. And they're doing it because it's smart on so many levels. You know, bicycling is smart for the citizens of Phoenix because it's healthy. It's a good way to spend our time. It takes cars off the road. It improves our air quality. But it's also... it's an economic development issue. We want to be a strong city. We want to be the kind of city that businesses want to come to. And bicyclists typically also spend a lot, make more trips and spend more money at local businesses. And developing local business is we think, an important part of the improvement of Phoenix. So it happens for us at a whole lot of levels, and we just want to share that story.
I mean, I think it's an important story to share. For this year's budget hearings, the Phoenix Spokespeople are continuing that showing up approach, this divide and conquer approach, going to all the different budget hearings around town by having your membership attend these different meetings. As you know, and as our listeners know, this year's budget contains reductions for services in attempts to correct a $38 million budget deficit, including reductions for things like parks and recreation programs, as well as arts and culture and other civic fabric amenities. Are you still seeking funding for enhanced bicycling infrastructure, even though it might come at the cost of other programs as revenues are shifted around in the City of Phoenix budget?
Well, that's a great question, Eddie, and certainly we're seeing a lot of emotional talk and expressions of priorities in these meetings, no question. But we don't really see it as an either-or thing, to be honest. You know, it's almost akin to, you're gonna want to eat a good diet, but you're also going to want to exercise. You know, I mean, both things are important to good health. And for the city, you know, certainly we see service programs like community centers and senior centers, and the arts is very important, but we see biking as an investment in today and tomorrow for Phoenix, as a way to take a small, modest amount of money, do some things to improve our city, and then receive payback year after year in terms of the improvements in Phoenix and the improvements in the lifestyle of the people of Phoenix.
And I think that's important, and we will link on the show notes for this this episode a link to an article on Atlantic Cities by Sarah Goodyear about how the city of Boston is prescribing bicycling as part of its health system. Paul, have you seen this article? I know this wasn't in our list of questions, but have you seen the article, or do you know anything about this, and do you want to chime in on this?
Well, we are aware of the article. You know, Lisa is always on top of what's going on regarding bicycling. You know, she made strong note of this fact that, you know, people, doctors, everyone does see bicycling and in this case, bike share programs even as good ways to make biking more more accessible, improve people's health. It's really, you know, if we're trying to change our focus down the road in saying an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, biking is one of those preventive things that really is a smart investment.
And the last question is to groups that are trying to secure funding for their own initiatives and projects, as everyone is doing every time there's a budget hearing cycle. What advice do you have for them, Paul, as they ask for appropriation either in this budget for fiscal year 2014-15 or for future budgets down the line?
Well, I think that, you know, one of the things that you alluded to, Eddie, is important, and that is to just remember that, you know, although what we say is important and it's an important need, we're not the only thing that's important in the city of Phoenix, you know. The council people, the city manager's office, they're being hit by tough decisions because there are a lot of important needs. All we try to do is talk about the positives of bicycling because we know bicycling. And we share that story as best we can about it being a good decision, a smart decision to invest money in bike lanes and bike infrastructure so that things will be safer, more people will bike. You know, I think it's important to mention, too, that there's a bicycle master plan that's just in the process of being finalized that helps to prioritize the key things that we can do to make bicycling safer for more people in the city of Phoenix. And our message as the Phoenix spokespeople is to say, let's continue to go through, follow through on the commitments, the modest commitments to fund some of those things. Last year, we received an allocation of $1.5 million as a part of the street transportation budget. This year, you know, we hope that we can continue to get some level of support for making those tier one recommendations, you know, come to fruition and really help people to commute, to ride around town, to enjoy their neighborhoods, all those things people do on bikes.
He's Paul Lumens of Phoenix Spokespeople, and you will see him frequently around town on one of his two bicycles. Paul Lumens, thanks for spending some time with us this morning.
Sure. Well, thanks very much, Eddie. We appreciate it and hope people get out on a bike and enjoy it.
Thank you. You can learn more about the Phoenix Spokespeople and all the things mentioned in our conversation at our website, downtownphoenixpodcast.com. We have a full list of the remaining City of Phoenix community budget hearings happening across town. And you can also find a link to the article from the Atlantic Cities that we referenced at the end of our conversation. We will be back with more of the Downtown Phoenix podcast after this. This was a shorter episode of the Downtown Phoenix podcast as a treat for you having to listen to me talk for 35 minutes on last week's episode. But before we go, coming up on next week's episode of the podcast, we will talk transportation in downtown Phoenix and how Phoenix is working to change its transportation priorities and narratives, especially in downtown Phoenix. In the meantime, we have a full community calendar on our website that has both fun events and community meetings like the budget hearings. You can find that online at our website, which is, again, downtownphoenixpodcast.com. Also, check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/downtownphoenixpodcast. And we're on Twitter, too. We're at DTPHXpodcast. All those links are on our website and on our Facebook page and on our show notes page as well. Thanks to my guest today, Paul Lumens of the Phoenix Spokespeople, for his conversation, and thanks also to Downtown Phoenix, Inc. for providing studio space for the Downtown Phoenix podcast. We will be back next week for Episode 7. So long. This is the Downtown Phoenix podcast, an Edward Jensen Urban Production.